Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening. I'm Jim Simmons, and on tonight's program, we invite you to join us as we take an unusual look at the Christmas season. Yes, Christmas, and all the special moments are so very special. However, for some of us, Christmas is not easy. So with your patience, we're going to take a pause at this Christmas season and look at some of the issues we face and ways to have victory in an otherwise difficult time. Stay with us as Dr. Lyons and I help you to recognize the 7 early warning signs of the holiday blues. Now, without further delay, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Well, quite fine, Jim, and I thank you for that kind introduction. And I think it is good that we're going to spend a little time tonight talking about the warning signs of the holiday blues. Christmas is a very wonderful time. It's an exciting time, busy with activities, but it's also easy to have it wear you down. And for some folks that have been going through some challenges, it can just be awfully draining and demanding on them. So we wanted to spend a little time from the scriptures and look at ways to encourage folks, also maybe try to identify some of the things that can bring us down so that they can watch out and be wiser for the experience. This should be a very positive season, but if you're going through some challenges, it can be a very difficult season. So we want the best for our listeners. We've all had those times, those years that were challenging, struggles. But we want to make it a time that is special. And the best way to keep anything special is to go to God in prayer and strength through His Word. So, Jim, why don't you begin this the right way tonight by opening us up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight to both study your word, but also to give thanks. Father, we ask you to give us clear direction in all that we say and do. But Lord, tonight, especially tonight, we would like you to superintend all that goes on. Father, you know our every hurt, our every pain, our every desire. I pray, Father, that in Jesus' name, you will have Dr. Lyons deliver the exact words you would have him deliver, and may it reach fertilely in the minds of those who are listening in, and may many be called to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, it's in the name above all names that we pray. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The best thing that ever happened in your life was accepting Jesus Christ. Now learn about the one who saved you and what being saved really means. Ask the Pastor has a great teaching series titled Jesus, Salvation and Eternal Security. The series comes in a convenient binder with 6 compact discs for your personal study. We trust that you'll find these lessons a great blessing. You can gain a better understanding of Jesus' sacrifice, His resurrection, and the salvation, justification, and grace that is available. Order your set at www.rightlyons.com. That's www.rightlyons.com. Don't delay. Order your set today.
I have a blue Christmas. That's certain. And when that blue heartache starts hurting, you'll be doing all right with your Christmas and white. But I
let me begin by clarifying for our listeners that, no, Jim did not just break into song there. That's actually Harry Connick Jr. And, you know, that's a powerful song, a great little song. But in some ways, it describes the Christmas that a lot of people experience this time of year, a blue Christmas. It's easy to fall into that trap of depression or blues at Christmas time. Now, this is supposed to be one of the happiest times of the year, but that can still happen. If you're going through some challenges, if you're facing some difficulty, maybe you've lost a loved one, maybe you've broken up with somebody, maybe you're just having, you know, financial challenges or events are getting to you. This is a time of year when the world sort of slaps us in the face if we're not full of a ho, ho, ho time. And that's just a sad reality. But we want you to know that there is victory, even in times that feel so very heavy. You know, part of the problem, as we just alluded, also addressed by Adam Anderson, PhD, associate professor of psychology in the University of Toronto, is the bombardment of media during the holidays showing images of smiling faces and friends. And it's that kind of thing that we start comparing ourselves and saying, well, that's not what my life is like. And suddenly we're just, you know, tearing our own selves down when we already weren't feeling that strong. According to one study that was done in Canada in 1999, patients that were being treated in emergency psychiatric services during the Christmas season, the most common stressors were feelings of loneliness and simply being without a family. So if you're feeling alone, if you see yourself as just an individual of one, understand, first of all, you're not alone. You do have a Christian family that, you know, extends beyond boundaries. Whether you're listening to us by phone and saying, well, that's not the same thing. Well, actually, in some ways it can be better. But by the same token, in every hamlet and every city and every little area throughout the world, there's always going to be a body of believers that if you give them a chance, you can let them come into your life and be a comfort, be an encouragement. And always recognize there's people that you could touch, you could encourage, and be helpful to. The realities are tough. There's no question about that. But there's also a greater truth that God can work in our lives. People who are lonely or have feelings of discontentedness often feel social interactions. In fact, they avoid the social interactions at holiday time. And the oddity of that is the fact that you're pulling away from the very thing that might help you feel some comfort to be around others. You may say, well, I've tried that before. It's not the same thing. You know, maybe you tried for the wrong reasons. If you were forcing yourself, expecting a magic switch to flip and suddenly you're all happy and laughter, no. But you go around people who are encouraged. You go around people who have still got Christmas joy, not just foolish happiness, but a real joy based in Christ. And that can be a little contagious as well. And so look for those things. Individuals can see other people spending time with friends and family and say, well, why can't that be me? Well, the answer is it can be you. Maybe not with that little circle, but the point is you can build your own family. You can build your own friends. And as I say again, within the body of Christ, there is a circle of family that awaits you if you're willing to take hold of that. Now, reports say that suicide rates are not actually higher at Christmas time, but they actually increase just shortly after Christmas. That building of isolation, a sense of defeat, can be very overwhelming. So if you're tempted to fall into the traps of depression and feeling isolated and alone, I want to take this time to really encourage you tonight to start building relationships, start going out and finding a good, strong Christian church, find believers, find volunteer opportunities, things that can work for you. You say, well, how does volunteering help me? It helps you because you'd be amazed touching other lives. Bring something out in you that God has placed in there very deep and very strong. Now, my observations have come to lead me to a simple conclusion. That conclusion is that we go through life comparing ourselves to the world and not to what God wants for us. And that conflict of ideals and goals create a sense of overwhelming frustration. So really, we're tearing ourselves down, much to the satisfaction of our enemy, at the very time that God wants to become a greater part of our lives, a greater encouragement in our lives, and there are some sources out there for you to build on. So I believe we can look to God's Word and find clues as to why we can become depressed. Ironically, I find that the same clues that identify these areas also identify the promises of God that can help us through this time. So I'll pose the question that Jim alluded to as we began our program tonight. Do you recognize the 7 early warning signs of the Christmas blues? So let's take some time and look at these 7 clues and discuss what the Bible has to say about them. First one I brought to your attention is simply, keeping your troubles to yourself. After all, it's Christmas. We have that feeling like, well, nobody else wants to hear this. They got their own troubles. Guess what? It's part of the reason the body of Christ comes together is so we can encourage each other. When one of us is down, when several of us are facing something, we come together as family to bolster each other up. Maybe you didn't have a Christian family growing up. Maybe you had a very dysfunctional family. So maybe you don't really understand how family is supposed to work. And there are churches that are in the process of growing, understanding, getting better at this. But I'm reminded of 1 Peter 5:7, which simply says, casting all your care upon him, meaning God, for he careth for you. And I think that is so very, very important to understand and realize. Jim, what are your thoughts about keeping our troubles inside? Doesn't that just make it more difficult?
Well, it absolutely does. And there's it's interesting because when you're hurting, and it can be physical, it can be emotional, you have a tendency, if you and I grew up watching John Wayne, and you just didn't whimper and cry, you toughed it out. I think the saying today is you man up. But I think if that were true, I think Jesus would have told us, don't bring all your cares and worries to me, man up, toughen up. And he said just the opposite. He said, bring all your cares and worries to me. And it makes me remember that I just, it's my habit. I just think about it and I try to take care of it myself. And thanks to you and your leadership and what you've taught us, I do stop. I thank God sometimes when I'm thinking about others that are suffering. And I'm trying to learn to bring everything to God. And it's just not our nature, is it, Pastor?
No, it's not. I think a good thing for us to maybe start switching to, instead of man up, maybe it ought to be knee down. Because if we got down on our knees and humbled ourselves in those times that we're hurting the most, we'd be so much closer to God. Isn't it amazing? We have a tendency to think of God way up in the heavens, and yet it seems like that when we're brought low, that's when we're closest to him. Because in that moment, we're ready to, as the scripture said, cast our care upon him, let go of it, and for the first time, let him come in and start being that active part of our lives. And that is so very important to understand and get a hold of. There's also folks in the body that are grieving during the holidays. I mentioned this earlier, the thought of losing a loved one. And for many people, holidays are a painful reminder of what once was. Next Monday night, that will be the anniversary of my mother going to be with the Lord. After all this time, that's still very strong in my mind. That first Christmas was very hard. Passing Christmases, I remember it. But it's not devastating the way it was before, because now I'm able to look back and celebrate those good times, celebrate the things she was able to accomplish and instill in us. But likewise, I'm able to take those lessons learned and try to encourage other people with them. And so, see, the very thing that 1 year, 2 years, 3 years were very painful, as the years continue to go by, becomes a strength, an asset, if you will. So for the people who have lost a loved one, and maybe very recently, the loss of or death of a spouse or a breakup that might have taken place. And I know people never think that a breakup is quite the same thing, but believe me, your heart is broken. You are feeling an absence just as intensely. And so I know some may disagree with that, but the person feeling the pain would never disagree with it. So again, I encourage you to come into the body of Christ. Let us love on you. Let us encourage you. For these individuals, it's important to manage the expectations. According to experts, that's a fancy way of saying, cast all your care upon him. Don't expect yourself to just suddenly jump up and walk around like nothing ever happened. Something happened when you lose a loved one. You may know they're with the Lord, or you may know they're still walking around if it's a breakup. But the truth is, you're feeling that void, and it hurts. And that's why we have to learn to not try to just, keep it all inside ourselves, try to think we're super people. I think the wisest people, the super people, are the ones that learn to let go of things and turn to God and allow Him to come in and be that strength, to be that encouragement. That is so incredibly important to learn to be able to do. You know, another element that comes into play, Jim, is simply, you know, letting someone else rule your heart. You know, they are your one true love. That's the person who is, you know, doesn't matter how old you are, we can fall into the trap of puppy love, and we tend to let somebody else dominate us, and they're directing us, and consequently we don't have our own real happiness. And that just doesn't work. In that situation, you're not going to find peace, you're not going to find comfort, because it's being controlled by somebody else, and certainly not the one who should be leading, guiding, and encouraging. Jim, by any chance, do you have Colossians 3:15 handy? I think that really answers that one really well.
Yes, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
That's right. You know, if we have somebody that, it's not a balanced relationship. You know, we are worrying about them, we are caring about them, we're trying to do everything, but they're just using you. Well, then, you know, your heart's always going to be in a flip-flop. You're always going to be feeling stressors, because if they're not happy, you're not happy. And, you know, people who are together should be encouraging each other, lifting each other up, not discouraging and pulling each other down. You know, these two sort of run together. That first one, keeping, you know, the troubles to yourself, and then letting somebody else dominate you, control you, that just flies in the face of that passage you just read, you know, letting the peace of God rule our hearts. We can't let people rule our hearts. We have to let God step in. We have to let Him step in there. I'm reminded of Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." You know, that is the very nature, that's the focus of Christmas time, that this child was born, the Messiah had come. And it continues to say, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So I would encourage our listeners, if they're letting someone else dominate their emotions, to draw them back to God and remember the two particular elements about God: Counselor and also the Prince of Peace. He can be our peace, and He can be the one that, as we read His word and as we pray with Him, we can feel His counsel and comfort. It is a powerful thing to turn to God in a time that we're hurting. Jim, how about you? Are there very special ways you can pray, or things you can think of to do when a person's feeling worn down, that they can turn to God for encouragement?
Well, you've made me think of a couple of things, and one of the questions I was going to ask you, I'll ask it now, but I want to go on, is it, do you think more men that have trouble with seeking help, trying to go to the scriptures, or seeking a godly friend to help them through a time, is it more men that need coaching or help here, or is it women? That's the first question. And the second is, when you've used it twice now, in both in Colossians and Isaiah, you've used the word peace. And I wonder if there are those out there like me that when that word comes up, I wonder really what is the meaning. When Paul penned Colossians, I wonder what that peace really means. Because when I think of peace, I don't know, I just feel like I'm relaxed. I can smell the trees, and I can, my muscles in my neck have relaxed, and I don't worry about what's coming Monday when I go back to work. So, Pastor, what does peace really mean in those two scriptures?
Well, I'm very thankful that you used that word worry just a moment ago, that you don't worry. You see, when you have peace, I think in that one moment for the believer, you have succeeded in saying, "I'm not going to carry this load. I'm going to trust God. I really will turn things completely and utterly over to Him." And again, from both the Hebrew and the Greek words, when we find these verses, because we find them in both Old and New Testament, this concept of peace that the Bible speaks of, it's not artificial, it's real, it's tangible, and it's this idea of understanding that there's something else or someone else that is carrying the load. I'm not carrying it. I'm not bearing it myself. And so this idea of having peace means that I have reached that moment when I've turned it over to God, and I'm not trying to carry it all myself anymore. I can trust him. And he gives us that perfect peace. That's why the scripture talks in another place about a peace that passes all understanding. From the world's perspective, that doesn't make sense. How can you first of all reach out to somebody you can't physically see, and at the same time know that he's going to take care of it? And the reality is he can be trusted to take care of the burdens of life, even the terrors of life, when we can feel alone and isolated. He's still loving us. He's still comforting us and giving us that peace. People I talk to, Jim, I find, you know, there was a time you could lay the plan of salvation out there and they jumped on it. I find what really draws people nowadays is this idea of peace. Would you really like to have peace? Would you like to not have to spend every day in worry and fear and doubt?
Yes.
Instead, know that you can have peace in your life. And I think that's where there's an incredible hunger going on. So letting someone else rule your heart can be treacherous. You won't have peace doing that. But by the same token, you know, not thinking about God during the holiday time, focusing on people, just opens up one more danger. That's number three of our seven early warning signs that you need to watch out for. Because if we take our eyes off him, if we take the Christ out of Christmas and we relegate it to a, quote, holiday season, well, then you're probably going to be drinking or operating in your own strength. And when the drink wears off or the celebration time wears off, there is no peace. We'll go back to that word again. There's no peace. You move from thinking about God at holiday, quote, Christmas time. You'll be focusing on people, looking for them to keep you bolstered up. And the problem is, at some point, people have to go home to their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't have somebody carrying your emotions, keeping you happy every 5 seconds. We've got to depend on God, because in the stillness of the night, when we feel alone, if on Christmas Eve, God forbid, you were rushed to the hospital, you know, you may not even be able to reach people by phone. But God will be with you in that moment to sustain you, to encourage you, to carry you through that moment. It's one of the amazing things about God is he doesn't, you know, say, all right, do this, and you'll never, ever have a problem again. You know, sometimes that sounds like it would be nice, but what I have found is far greater is knowing that there's not a thing that can come into my life that God will not go with me through that event. And that, to me, is far greater, far more assuring to know I don't face these things alone. So I do need to spend time thinking about God. Jim, if you get Romans 14:17, I'll jump in with Isaiah 26:3. This is a powerful message to this thought of not thinking about God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So see, from the Old Testament, in Isaiah 26:3, we have a promise that God said he would give us that perfect peace we've been talking about when we keep our mind focused on him. Why? Because we trust in him. And that's that relationship starting to build between God and man, God and woman and young person.
Mm.
Jim, how about Romans 14:17?
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the heaven, in the Holy Ghost. You know, Pastor, that's interesting, because I would like you to field this question, if you don't mind. When I see the word joy now, I remember it said that happiness is temporary or even man-fabricated, but joy is God-given. Does that apply here?
Yes. I really do believe it does. And again, that's why I say these two verses really are promises. With the first one, he's saying trust in him. And, you know, in fact, where the scripture says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. So he will put us in peace when we're thinking on him, focusing on him. When it says the mind, it's more than just, oh, I had a passing thought about God today. No, it's I had my quiet time this morning. I connected with God. I spent time with him in prayer and connected, and that peace began to come into my life. In Romans 14:17 that you read, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not just going to the party. but it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, a good way I've heard joy touched on was that, you know, think of it as an acronym, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. Putting Jesus first and being concerned and encouraging others, and then bringing ourselves in. So in other words, it's not a self-centered attitude, but rather Jesus first, and then touching family, touching lives. And then when we bring ourselves in, it's like, well, that's it. Now there's a child I can use. There's somebody I can encourage and comfort. So it's a wonderful way to focus on it, a wonderful way to approach it. Does that help with the question? Do you have another thought there?
Well, that really really helps me remember. I'd asked a question earlier, and we didn't get back to it. Do you find that it's more men or women that would have trouble letting God take all the cares and lay it on Jesus instead of trying to hold it in? Is it more men, do you think?
Well, I would say that women have a possible edge in that they, as a rule, tend to be a little better at communicating what's going on, and that's an advantage for them. But I tell you, I think more than man versus woman, it's a question of what's your God look like? Now, that may seem sort of an odd statement, but here's what I mean. Some folks have grown up in a home, if you can call it that, where God was a big bully. You know, God was used like a threat. You know, God's going to get you, and God's going to take you out, and I don't see why God even puts up with you. That kind of thing where God becomes a bully rather than a blessing. He's a loving, he's a heavenly Father with compassion. Yes, he's a righteous judge, but he also is there. You know, some have been blessed to have parents who pointed us back to God. So when it was a difficult time, he was the one who would bring the answer, bring the solution. You know, the parent may have worked hard and applied themselves, but they always gave the credit and glory back to God. And so as a result, you've got people who have grown up knowing they can trust God. He's not the bully. He's the blessing. He's the real Heavenly Father. You know, people who grew up with this idea of a very abusive father, you know, when we talk about an all-powerful Heavenly Father, that's not a comfort. That's a scary thought because they've already had a brutalizing father. They don't want another one. So an all-powerful God at that moment is not a good thing. But if you've been raised to understand that God is love, he is grace, he is mercy, he is strong, he is powerful, but it's balanced with a righteous love and a righteous understanding of what is right and what is wrong. You know, in that light, yes, I think man or woman can go to God quicker, can come to our knees in prayer with greater strength and integrity, and can find healing in times of hurt and depression with greater intensity. I don't think at that moment it's a question of man versus woman. I think it's a question of, do you have a relationship with God that sees him as, yes, he's powerful, but I know he loves me, and I know he wants his best for me, as opposed to he's with somebody who was brought out as a threat when you didn't get things perfect. You see, there is a very significant and powerful difference. For our listeners who have just joined us tonight, we are trying to look at some warning signs about the Christmas blues, trying to encourage us to take the right focus. We looked at keeping your troubles to yourself. That's not a good thing. It just buries them in there and it hurts a little deeper. So we encourage you to go to God and go to other people of faith and character to find strength and encouragement. We're letting someone else rule in your heart. It's not a good thing either. We need to turn to Christ and let him be the strength, the counselor, the Prince of Peace. And likewise, not thinking about God during the holiday time, focusing on people, can get us in trouble because he's the very one who wants to love us, encourage us, and draw comfort to us.
Bells will be ringing the sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone. I have no friends to wish me greetings. Once again, choirs will be singing silent night, Christmas carols by candlelight. Please come home for Christmas. Please come home for Christmas. If not for Christmas, by New Year's night.
Wow. How about you? Are you feeling a big dose of the Christmas blues? Well, that's why we've been spending some time looking at recognizing the early warning signs of the Christmas blues. Pastor, to tell you the truth, I find that Christmas time is really just an awfully busy time of year. How is it for you?
Oh, it's definitely a busy time. If you are working in the church, it's next only to Easter, I think it keeps us busy. There's all sorts of programs, all kinds of events taking place. And it's really easy to just burn yourself out. That's why I used that expression earlier. Sometimes the ho-ho-ho can start to get to you after a while.
Yes.
And yet, this is supposed to be a time of joy and peace. But, I was listening to that song break in there, and I said, I was almost starting to get down just thinking about it. It's, please be home for Christmas. It's like, I think he's talking about, having to be away from loved ones. And the truth of the matter is, I think some of the folks that are away from loved ones are the ones who are celebrating Christmas. I mean, they're all running and, I've actually seen families come in and, the children take off to one area and, the older children take off to another. The teenagers head in another direction and, mom's mm-hmm. helping with one thing, dad's helping with something else. Here's Christmas time and all the children and the parents all went off in opposite directions. So a season that should have pulled them together, pulled them at odds. And, that's not what's supposed to happen. So, my fourth little topic here for things that can create a stress at Christmas or bring on the blues is simply burning the candle at both ends and heating up the middle. And that's the way some people live,
Right.
And why? Because, it's Christmas season. It's a busy season. That's not an excuse to pull the family apart. It's not an excuse to pull the individual apart. If you're a family of one, exhausting yourselves to the point where you can't appreciate Christmas, you don't even remember the reason for the season, well, then what have you accomplished?
Right.
We don't burn ourselves out and brutalize ourselves through massive exhaustion. Instead, if we really want to be able to minister to other people, we'll give it the full court press, as they say. But by the same token, we schedule time for family. We schedule time for ourselves to be rested, to be refreshed. Otherwise, the only thing that's going to happen in January is we're going to be making doctor's appointments, trying to get our bodies put back together, and the emotions have been so drained that we may not get those back together.
Right.
But, let's look at Psalm 4:8 for a moment. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. There is a comfort in God. We're back to our word, peace. We have to learn to let the candle burn gently sometimes and just sit back and, at the close of the day, say, all right, I'll balance my time. There's only so many things I can say, yes, I'll do that. And then we have to start saying, I want this Christmas to be special. I want it to be the time that I put the brakes on. Yes, I touched lives. Yes, I volunteered. Yes, I sang carols and I did all those great things. But I also did it with some balance and I found time just to get my family together or just maybe to get myself together. And to remember the things that are sweet and precious, to get in God's Word, to sing the songs and the carols and, that. Jim, let me ask you, sort of jumping left field, what's for you like a fond memory for Christmas time that sort of leads up to Christmas? Maybe not Christmas Day, but, how do you know when Christmas season has started? Is there some ritual or some thing that you have to do every year that really says to you, now it's the season, it's started?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of my fondest memories. We just imploded what used to be called Foley's and then Macy's, and now it's going to be a high-rise in downtown Houston. Happens to be right across the street from the office I'm in. Know where that is, right off of Main Street. But one of my fondest memories is the three boys. That's me, Tommy, and Donnie. I'm the oldest, Tommy in the middle, Donnie is the baby. And I remember how my mother used to take us shopping. I do not remember it being a frenzy or a free-for-all. I remember Mom was just easygoing. She knew what she could afford. You remember those days when you knew what you could afford?
And actually stayed there.
Just,
yeah, so it's...
Yeah, those days are far and few between. But it was so nice because we got to participate. And she says, okay, for Uncle Eddie, what do you think of this? And she included us. And I can remember riding the escalator, which, boy, that was fun. You know, it was Aldi's downtown and, of course, Macy's later. But I can remember my mother holding my hand and twirling my knuckles. Have you ever done that when Mom holds your hand and just kind of squeezes your knuckles gently and kind of rolls them? I just remember that escalator. I'm glad you brought that up. That was just a great time to be with Mom. And Dad, of course, was always working, so he didn't get to participate. But I can remember Christmas Day, how we knew what everything he was going to get. We were just so excited because we got to participate in getting him the presents, and we just idolized Dad. And I think back and just am so grateful I had a mom that was not harried and lunatic during this season. She just had her three boys, and we just had a great time. And when Dad got there, wow, it was a quiet party. Thank you for
that's
memory.
Wonderful. Absolutely. And I think that's important. And you just brought out really a great point, a memory. You see, that's what Christmas really should be about. You know, is it a nativity? Is it the birth of the Christ child? Yes, that's the reason. But as families and as individuals, we want to build memories. We want people to look back. And, you know, people are going to remember how busy you were because they're actually going to try to block that part out.
Right.
They will go back and they'll remember holding hands. They will remember the being by the fireside. And, you know, maybe it's the ride on the escalator, the quiet of the day when the family comes together. They remember those things. And that's part of what Psalm 4:8 is talking about. I lay me down in peace and sleep. I can trust God. I can dwell in safety. And when we build that kind of a home, one where safety is there, peace is there, we can come together and not feel stressed, that's pretty important. And it's hard to not have stress if everybody is constantly up against the deadline trying to do
that one
more thing. Yeah.
What about you, Pastor? When I say a Christmas when you were growing up, what comes to mind? What is your memory?
Oh, goodness. You know, if I was going to pick one thing, I mean, certainly it's choirs. We had a very musical family.
So as
we rolled into the Christmas time, it seemed like every member of the family was in a choir. You know, the best times were when we were all in the same choir when we got a little bit older.
Wow.
And so that was great. But, you know, there was first the children's choirs and then the teen choirs and the adult choirs. And Mom did all kinds of solo work at Christmas time. And just a wonderful experience. Remembering some of those songs and, you know, coming in, there's a warmth about that. See a choir sing and have a soloist going, that's very comforting. And then, like I say, at the end of the day, after coming in, I grew up in an area that got particularly cold and had snow and ice. And you finally get back inside and, you know, start to feel that chill come off and see the tree. And, you know, there were years when things were lean and the tree was pretty barren of needles and branches. And there were years when it was very comforting. But, you know, I think there was as much love in the lean years as there were in the more prosperous years, because Mom always pointed us in the right direction, always took us back to Christ, and that's the purpose of the holiday season. We really did see the Christ in Christmas growing up, and she always kept him foremost in our eyes, and that made it special. Also, yes, and, you know, a fond memory I look at, I can see, you know, at different years, it might have been sitting at a table. Sometimes it was up on top of a fireplace mantle. But I remember there was this little brass figurines that it had a base to it. It had four little candles. And above the four candles, there was like a little venting that could allow this thing to spin around. And these little angels would sound these chimes and as the candles lit it up and heated it up. And just to see that, you know, even now as I'm sitting here talking about it, I can mentally picture it, and I can hear those little chimes in the background. And, you know, the candles might have been burning, but they weren't burning at both ends. We were able to relax and enjoy the peace of the moment. You know, all that came together in a very special way. So to our listeners, I encourage you to don't be so worried about all the things to do. Be concerned to make time enough to spend it together. And, you know, again, if you're by yourself this Christmas, pick up the phone and give a word of encouragement to somebody. Maybe write a Christmas card or just a note and pass that along to somebody. Think of somebody that has touched your heart over the years. Send them that note of encouragement. You'd be surprised how much that can mean. Jim, do you have Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 handy by any chance?
Yes, I do. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not.
And that passage, Isaiah is writing to some people who were rebellious, who were trying to run on their own strength. And what does he say? If you would return to God, you'd find your salvation. If you'd find that time in quietness with God, you'd find his strength. And so don't be the person that will look back one day and said, you know, they never would slow down. They never would stop. So it's not like they had one more thing to do. I think, why not be the person that as the years go by, we'll remember you as the one who just sort of brought peace in the room when you walked in, because you weren't rushing and rushing, but instead you were trusting and trusting in God. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so confusion is not Christmas time. Celebration, comfort, peace, that's the peace that we can find at Christmas time that is so very special. You know, there's another element that people fall into the trap of, and we've sort of touched on this a little while ago. There's a warning sign to watch out for, and that's shopping like my credit line is the cattle on a thousand hills. You know, just because they raise the credit limit doesn't mean you have to shoot for the limit. That's not the goal there.
Oh, didn't know that.
And trust me, that'll put some stress out there. If not immediately, shortly thereafter it will.
Right, right.
It's, you know, the bells may be ringing, but it could be the creditors. So, you know, let's put the brakes on now. Better to have a more comforting Christmas than to have one that you're paying for the next 12 to 13 months. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I submit to you that if you have to charge it, you have to ask the question, do you really need it? Because he said he would supply our needs, and maybe what you have to charge isn't a need. Maybe it's something that the want-to's got in the way. And so, you know, let's keep our focus. When we shop, let's shop with wisdom. Let's make a great testimony to come into January in the black rather than in the black and the blue, okay? And because I think that's important as well. You know, by the same token, something else we can look at is focusing on bodily pleasure more than the spiritual. And that can happen over the holiday seasons. You know, they hit the parties and they hit the clubs, and what they don't hit is their knees and say, God, I want to worship you this season. I want to put you first in my life. Instead, we get caught up in the flesh. We just want, you know, even in relationships, we want ourselves to feel good. We don't care about the other person. And there's nothing spiritual about that. It's quite the opposite. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And Jim, do you have 1 Timothy 4:8?
For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Wow, so I should give up exercise, huh?
No. That's a good verse, and exercise can have its place too, but what we're talking about here is the person who's, that's the only focus. They're just building the body, and that's all they're thinking about, rather than building the heart. You know, there's got to be some balance out there. I know you're a runner, you keep yourself in good shape, and that's great, but, you know, if that's all you did, and you neglected the spiritual side, you'd be in trouble. You know, you wouldn't have the depth to draw from when you had to help others that were in trouble. See, it's the depth that comes not just from exercise physically, but spiritual exercise of prayer and getting into the Word and encouraging and touching lives. That's what Paul was trying to remind Timothy. Take care of the body. Do the exercise. But don't allow it to become an obsession to the point of neglecting God's Word and God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Another great passage is Luke 12. and 18 through 21. And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be when thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." In other words, the person who is saying, "I'd love to spend time with my family, but you know, I am so busy this time of year. I've got so many things I'm wheeling and dealing. I'm going to make this all happen." You know, and I realize some things wrap up at towards the end of the year. But by the same token, what are you doing it for? If you're doing it to be able to spend time with your family, if you're doing it so that you can, you know, maybe do something special at church, but you neglect the church and you neglect your family, what have you accomplished? We have got to always put some balance into our lives and realize that the body is not the only thing. Pleasures,
right,
stuff. It's the spiritual side as well. And that's what gives you the courage and the strength to do all these other things. And I apologize, Jim. I know I'm starting to run on there. Jump in here. You got some ideas on that?
Well, I'm so glad you're saying this because I grew up in the corporate world, and I'm in, you know, virtually in sales. And you know what I've noticed over my 38 years? It's never enough, Pastor. My budget next year, to what I'm supposed to gather in sales next year, is big. When are we satisfied? When, you know, I get so aggravated sometimes thinking there is no end to this, and yet we keep having younger people come in and they fall in the same trap that I have and others have. And I just, you know, I just think there ought to be more emphasis on companies that are more concerned with having enjoyment at work. I'm not saying have a party. I'm saying enjoy what you do. And it just permeates all areas of the business, and you even take it home with you when you're happy at work, when you look forward to going to work, not because I got to do it. If I don't, everybody else is going to pass me up, and I'll be the smallest, you know, my goal will be won't meet my goal, and it just, guess what? It'll never change. If you get caught up in it, it'll never change, and I think I'm so glad you're bringing this up because we need to start. In my opinion, we need to start questioning and challenging who's running this show. Is it the corporate CEO, or is it my God who's already told me I'm royalty, I'm wealthy, and this time on earth is temporary and blows away, but peace in heaven is everlasting? Just a thought.
Yeah. I thoroughly believe if the reason you're working yourself into the grave is so you can spend time with your family, you know, they're not going to be in the grave there with you. So maybe you need to pull back enough that, yes, be a person of integrity, pay your bills, but don't live beyond your means. And by the same token, realize that one of the most precious things you have is your home and your family and your precious friends. So achieve that balance and, you know, keep it running so that you are able to have the health that you need to be with your family, to encourage them. That is so very, very important to understand. We have to find a way to pull back sometimes and be honest enough to say, what I need to do now is close up my desk and go home, spend time with my family that I've been working so hard to provide for. I need the time with them. And sometimes that's the most spiritual thing you can do, is just spend time with your family and demonstrate the love that God has put into you.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. We'll presents near the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where Oh, sugar, I'll be home for Christmas. If only my dreams.
No wonder the girls swoon, the way he says sugar. You know, I
that
think the toughest... Yeah, the toughest Christmas can be the one when you have to be away from your loved ones. In fact,
oh, yeah.
Pastor, isn't that the case for a lot of our military families today?
Oh, that is too true, that they spend a life often not being with their families at Christmas and holidays and birthdays, being deployed somewhere. So we certainly value them and appreciate them, but also pray for them. But also encourage them to not fall into our seventh item, which is forgetting the promises of God by looking at the circumstances. When we look at just what's going on around us, what's going on in our life at that particular year, it's easy to forget the promises of God and only see the situation. We do have military families who are serving all over this world, and you know, even other states away from their families that they grew up with, the places that they call home. By the same token, we got folks who are off at college or, you know, maybe they're traveling again because of work. They're on an assignment somewhere and they're not able to be home at the very time of the year they seem to feel it most.
Mm.
But the truth doesn't go away from the fact that we need to put family first. And especially in the case of our military, if you're deployed somewhere, obviously, we know you can't fly back, you know, even for Christmas Eve. But there's a connection that people can have when they put God first in their lives, that can stretch out across the miles and allow a family to feel close and connected, even if the miles get in between. We can't afford the luxury to let the circumstances tear apart and tear away at both the strength of love, the family, and the promises of God, because honestly, love and the promises of God are far stronger than the circumstances. Isaiah 61:3 says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." There's healing that takes place, there's strength that takes place, there's praise that takes place, even in the spirit of heaviness, that time where you have to be apart doing something. I like that phrase too, that they might be called trees of righteousness. And I think of a tree, I don't think of something that's just bouncing around the wind. And I know leaves will dance around, but I also realize that the root system of these trees go down deep, and they're solid, and they can handle the winds. But guess what? You put the promises of God first in your life, and what you're going to find is that there is a strength that will get you through the most difficult of times. That's comfort. That's strength to rely on God and not the circumstances. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, Pastor, I want to thank you for, it's really because of you that I've had a completely new and renewed attitude towards our military. And I thank you for that because I have most all my life taken it for granted. And I know that freedom is not free. I know that, as you've explained, it's not just the soldier, he or she, that is in a foreign country, perhaps, and away from their family, but it's also the family that
Absolutely.
Is making sacrifice. And I thank you for bringing our attention to it. And I'm just curious, though, what brings you to such a place that you keep bringing it up, you keep praying for them? What makes you so patriotic, if you will?
Oh, wow.
That's a big question for a little guy, isn't it?
Thank you for the little guy part, yes.
I was trying to say me.
No, I have to tell you honestly, it's what I was brought up with. I was blessed to have patriots in the family. I was blessed to be exposed to a lot of patriots, people who stood for something, sacrificed for something. And we've known the Christmases when family was away. And I remember my oldest brother one time, we celebrated Christmas. We had the tree up. We had gifts out, we had presents out, we had turkey dinner, the whole nine yards. Now, maybe that doesn't seem so dazzling, but that was in July, because he had been away for Christmas for 2 years, and so when he got back home in July, we decided we were going to have Christmas, so we managed to find a way to put a tree up and have Christmas in July. You know, didn't even have a good sale going for it, but, you know, military families do things that are just a little different from the rest of the folks, because we know that when we can have the time together, we take advantage of it and appreciate it. And wherever you might be, there's a place of service in defense of our country, in defense of freedom. But please understand, you're also defending the right for people to stand and read the Word of God, to be close to Him, to grow stronger in Him. It makes you value your freedom all the more if you've ever had to fight for it or lost a family member defending it. It is very precious. And it's amazing what you can do when you turn your life over to Christ and say, take it, use me to your glory. Christmas becomes that much more special when you're able to do that. Next week, we're going to try to look at some other ways to make our homes stronger, make us stronger as we go through the holiday season. And believe it or not, the following Thursday will be Christmas. And we've got a special time planned for our Christmas together on here on Ask the Pastor. We encourage you to spend time with your family, and, you know, if you're by yourself, to celebrate it, to draw close to God, maybe spend time with some friends. But even if you're just by yourself, make it sure it's by yourself and God, and bring those elements together to celebrate and honor Him. And we pray that if you have the opportunity, you will join us that night, and know that we'll be here sharing a message of comfort and celebration, and maybe trying to give a few more ideas out there of how to draw closer to God at a time where we celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior. Jim, we only have about another minute or two. Your final thoughts?
Well, Pastor, I think it's a perfect opportunity to mention that if you are not a Christian, let us give you this passage. It's in, you can find this in Romans 10, verse 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And 10 goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I would just encourage you to get in the Word. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, this would be how to start, and then the Holy Spirit will take it from there, and then we look forward to seeing you for our Christmas special. I can't believe it's that close.
It's 2 weeks away. So, you know, the nice thing is, for people who think that Christmas gets started earlier and earlier, at least based on the shopping experiences, let's try to do it a little different this year. Instead of having Christmas start real early, let's just never stop Christmas. Let's just, each and every week as we go through 2015, remember to put God first and remember to celebrate the birth of Christ and give thanks by the way we live. Thanks by the way we walk in Christ. Thanks by the way we remember to witness to others and share the gospel of Christ. I think that is so very, very important to make certain that we never lose sight, not just simply of the gift of the Christ child, but what his life meant, so that we walk by faith, not by sight, and we can celebrate the new birth of not only of Jesus Christ, but our new birth in him. So, as we prepare, have a wonderful Christmas, and by all means, join us again next week on Ask the Pastor. Good night.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.